Welcome to the Horses King Show. In this episode, I'm going to talk to Derek. Derek is an eco-philosopher and an environmentalist, and he is also called the poet-philosopher of ecological movement. He's very well known for his work like Deep Green Resistance, Bright Green Lies, and Endgame, and many other books, of course. So in this episode, I'm going to talk to him regarding the reality of saving this planet through tree plantation drives, and why tree plantation drives are really not so successful, and what can we do to make them successful and save this planet in the right way. So let's jump into the conversation and hear him out. My first question is tree plantation drives. We are being told that tree plantation is the way to save this planet, and we are planting trees like anything in India and in other parts of the world. So what do you think about the plantation drives going on to save this planet? Are they working? Are we doing it right? Or do we need to change the way we are trying to save the planet?
I think that a tree plantation would be better than a parking lot, but that's about all we can say. That it's a plantation, by definition, is not a forest. I remember seeing a poster many years ago that was a tree plantation, and it said, the caption was, "This is the biological desert." A tree plantation is no more biodiverse than a cornfield or a rice paddy. And that's not to say that allowing forests to come back is not a good thing, because what's happening is that they've taken this idea that is very important, which is natural habitat restoration, and they've turned that into something that it's not, which is these tree plantations. And natural habitat restoration actually does sequester lots of carbon. And this is true whether we're talking about forests or grasslands or salt marshes or mangrove swamps or lots of other biomes. But there is, we really need to know the difference between a tree plantation or a tree farm and a forest. And in a plantation, I mean, by definition, they're pretty much planting them to eventually cut them. And that's not the point. The point is to sequester it into a functioning forest. And also, there are more problems on the planet than global warming, and habitat loss is one of them. So this is not to say, well, so here's another part of this, is if you're going to plant trees, why don't you plant native trees in places where native trees belong? And also, if you're going to do that, why don't you just let the forest recover on its own? Because usually forests know exactly what to do, and it's less work. There are times when the forest needs some help. And an example of this in the United States might be that timber companies were trying to replant Douglas fir plantations, and they were finding that the trees weren't growing. And one reason the trees weren't growing is because they're in a healthy functioning forest in the Pacific Northwest. Creatures called voles, who are little rodents, they eat mushrooms and then they poop out the mushroom spores, and the trees connect with the mushroom spores in a symbiotic relationship that helps the trees to grow. The point being, if you don't have that little rodent, the vole, in the forest, the trees won't grow. And do you see what I'm trying to get at with that?
Yeah, yeah. It's a biodiversity.
It's not just trees, yeah. But it's trees in relationship with voles. Or, again, in salmon-based streams here in the United States, a forest evolved with salmon will grow only about one third as fast if the salmon aren't there, because the salmon provides so many nutrients to the forest. And so I think I want to be really clear. I am not saying that people shouldn't plant trees.
Yes.
I'm saying what we should do is follow nature's lead, and we can help nature if there are, you know, certain things that, like, we can remove concrete, and right. then the nature will, the natural plants will want to come back, and we can sometimes reintroduce plants or animals, and that can be helpful. But mostly, honestly, the forest just needs to be left alone.
Right.
So that's the short version of it, is we really need to know the difference between a plantation and a forest.
What if I plant a food forest, if I'm growing a food forest, which I will be harvesting fruits from there, and then I'll cut it for timber. So is it fine?
I think by definition, that's not going to particularly help global warming because the trees are being cut.
Yeah.
And so far as whether it's going to help non-humans, I would simply ask, is it improving the soil, and is it improving habitat for wild creatures in the region? And if not, then it's not really helpful. I mean, that's not to, well, it depends on the circumstance too, because honestly, if you're living in a city, or if you're living in a fairly urban area, you know, it's already disturbed, and it will be better as fruit trees than it would be as lawn or, you know,
right.
something else.
Right.
But if it's a wild forest that's going to be converted, and you're going to cut down native trees to put in fruits and nuts, then that's not so good. And then another way I think about this is, I need to pay my rent. And yes, I need to pay the rent to the capitalists, but I also need to pay the rent to the original inhabitants of the land.
Yeah.
And so if I were to have a food forest, I would want to set aside some part of the land for native pollinators, for native insects of other sorts, for the birds. So, I mean, we exist and we consume things, and we, you know, it's not shameful for you to want to grow food for yourself. That's a delightful thing.
Right.
But as you're growing food for yourself, like, I planted a whole bunch of apple trees on this land, and this is not an apple tree. I mean, apples aren't native anywhere, really, in North America at least. And it's a redwood forest. Nonetheless, I planted some apple trees, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to eat apples. So I planted apple trees, and honestly, the bears get 90% of the apples. And sometimes that annoys me, because I want to eat more than, you know, five apples for these trees.
Yeah.
But I figure it's part of my rent. So, So what I would do is I would plant a food forest, and I would make sure that native wildlife knows that they are welcome to not take all of it, but take some of it. And so you're feeding yourself, and you're feeding your non-human neighbors too.
So what I understood is that it's okay to grow what you are growing, but we should be considerate of the nature, the soil, the environment, and the biodiversity living around it or on it. So it should not be just for us, for our consumption, or for us to feel better, rather than it should be for the soil, for the environment, and for the biodiversity to live and to feed and to feel better for their survival.
Yes, absolutely. Which includes you eating some of it too.
And it will be much more healthier than just, you know, growing monocrops and other things. So,
right, exactly.
I have one more question, and that is, there are companies and there are people who are planting trees for every customer they are making a sale or on their happy birthday. So is it good or is it bad? And if it is bad, if it is good, how we can make it better or how we can make it best?
You know, I don't know enough about the circumstances to...
It's a very vague idea, but you know, just give us some tips so that what we are doing, I mean, a normal person who wants to plant trees at the place they can find. So what is the best practice they can do?
So I think that native trees are usually the best, right. And also trees. So yeah, I can provide some guidelines. I think if somebody or some organization is planting trees in a city, that again is much different than if they're planting them. And I think trees in a city, sure, plant some shade trees and everything else. I know some people in the Midwestern United States I had an interesting conversation with them about why that city, they were going to volunteer to plant cherry trees and various other fruit trees in the city, for the city, so that birds could eat them. And so, you know, anybody living in that neighborhood during the right time of year could just walk by and pull some cherries and eat them. And, you know, how fun is that? And it's just on a city street, so it's not really habitat. That's a great idea. And the reason the city wasn't excited about it is because fruit trees make a mess.
Right.
And that, you know, as some of the apples fall on the ground, the cherries fall on the ground, the birds sit up in the tree and eat the cherries and they poop. And so the city did not want the hassle of cleaning up the sidewalk. And that's a terrible reason to not have... I mean, I think it's a wonderful idea. This doesn't help capital and nature, but it's a wonderful idea to put fruit trees all over a city. I just think that would be the best idea. And then out in nature, I mean, I would certainly buy from a company that said, for every dollar you spend, we will, you know, give a dollar or give a nickel or something to buying part of a forest or a grassland or something and setting it aside so it doesn't get hurt. I would be totally in favor of that. Or taking an area that's been clear cut and hiring people to replant native trees and native bushes and help that turn back into a forest. I would be totally in favor of that. Would I be in favor of planting a monocrop of eucalyptus? No, I think it's a terrible idea, unless you live in eucalyptus territory, in which case it still shouldn't be monocrop. If it's native plants used in a native context, and I have wonderful conversations with a friend of mine from India who does a lot of restoration work about this issue, that they will take a tea plantation and they don't immediately cut down all the tea and cut down some of the other trees that have sort of moved in. Instead, they make a gradual transition where they don't turn it into a desert and then replant trees.
Yeah.
But instead they will encourage, is the word that they use. They will encourage native trees to make their way back over the next 40 years. And that works really well. So yes, I'm all about converting damaged land back into native habitat, and I am not particularly interested in creating more monocrops if those monocrops are trees.
Right. Because whenever I take a drive in the city, be it Delhi or other cities of India, mostly I see they are planted with just one kind of tree, and that is monocropping.
Which is not helpful to...
Which is for the biodiversity.
To biodiversity at all. I mean, nature does not really like a monocrop, and it's... I mean, what's going to happen is at some point... an insect or a virus or something who really likes that type of plant is going to come in and just eat them all anyway, because that's what nature does to try to turn a monocrop back into a mosaic. And that's how, you know, I'm looking out the window here and I can see redwoods, Doug firs, western cedars, and a couple deciduous trees right here. And all of those trees will host different insects or other animals. And so if one Doug fir, like that Doug fir right there, gets sick, it's not necessarily going to jump to the next tree because the next tree over is a redwood.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a big believer in biological diversity.
So my takeaway will be that, okay, it's okay to plant trees, but we should focus on helping the nature to take back the land. And if it is not able to do it, then we can provide some support to the nature. Mm-hmm. And we should, you know, focus on conserving the forest, conserving the areas, rather than doing monocropping of the trees on Environment Day or other things, right?
Yeah. And also, I just want to say one of the early things you said was that, you were feeling a little bit bad about doing organic farming, but I think organic farming is certainly it's many, many steps better than regular farming. And, you know, there can be, even on a small scale, there can be integrated, I grow some other plants too. And sometimes if there are if aphids overrun some of the plants and the plants are inside, I'll take them outside, and wasps love to eat the aphids and birds eat the aphids. And so, you know, you can grow plants for yourself and just don't poison everybody. And it's the same deal. You know, if you're going to plant some plants, don't just plant some plants for you, and don't just plant some plants for the birds and the ones you love, but plant some plants for caterpillars and plant a couple plants for...
I did it.
Yeah, so that's great.
Yeah.
And the caterpillars will be very happy, and the insects will be very happy.
I did that in a small part of the farm. There's an area dedicated for butterflies. There is area for honeybees. And it's not for farming or for taking the honey. It's just I don't disturb them.
That's great. I love it.
So anything else you would like to add regarding this plantation drives? Especially, I have one more question. So people go crazy. I saw in India recently that people went crazy and everybody was posting pictures with plants. Everybody was planting trees on World Environment Day. So how successful do you think are these kind of drives are?
I don't really know. I would think that, again, it depends on what they're trying to do. If they're planting monocrops or non-native trees, I don't think that's particularly helpful. And you can do, you know, it's the same amount of effort. If you're going to plant a tree, at least plant a native tree, and at least plant, you know, one person plants a Doug fir and somebody else plants a Western red cedar. I don't understand why that's so difficult. You're doing the hard work of planting the tree. You may as well plant something native as plant a eucalyptus.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
Right. Because we see people just planting, everybody's getting the same plant from the same nursery, and then they have just four or five varieties of plants, trees, and they just plant it. Again, it's a monocropping of four or five plants at one place or on one farm. So I think it's bad. Rather than we should move on. I mean, we should get as much as diverse we can, right?
Yep, so. Completely agree with that.
So I'll stop the interview here. And thank you so much for your time. I really loved listening to you. And that was a very informative session.
Well, thank you so much.